talk for a minute, and then we'll do a guided meditation. A little lost question. So yes, yesterday, was it? We did the guided meditation on imagination. Using your imagination. So I wanted to talk just a little bit about that, so we can do more of it. I think it's even part of our very ancient traditions that we have access and freely use our imagination. The imagination really is very associated with emotion. Like every affect, every emotion has an accompanying imagination or imaginations. And so it's something for us to really love to use. And especially when we're doing any type of inner work, to be able to feel very free to let those imaginal processes take place, because they're very related to our feelings. They're related to the little ones inside. They're related to all of our complexes, all of the complexes or things that are kind of held in the psyche are often held in the body, and often you can just be with some tension in the body and see not only what feeling comes, but what imagination comes out of that feeling. Right? And so the inner child work, when we're working with the little ones inside, to let yourself be free for them to come in any imaginal form is really a beautiful thing, because the imagination is very much associated in part of the emotion itself. So that's the beautiful thing about the unconscious. It's full of feelings, affect, and imaginal images that can be just, in terms of any of our senses, they don't always have to, your imaginal world doesn't just have to be visual. It could be auditory. It could be just in terms of sensation. You know, so some people worry, well, I don't see, I only feel, or I don't see, I only am hearing things, you know. That's fine. It depends on your own psyche, what form the imaginal images take. It doesn't have to just be visual at all. And it can be visual and sensual and many different things. But I guess why I'm even bothering to talk about it right now instead of just go into it is because I think that a certain openness for that is necessary, in order to give the mind permission, you know, to be in that imaginal world. And also, I feel like, at least for many people, there's kind of a dismissal of the reality of the psyche and the reality, the psychic reality of those imaginings, that they have their own reality, and they're also very healing, and it's a gift to be able to be with them and to go into dialogue with them. It's something very real, very healing. You know, just that this has its own reality, our inner world has its own reality, and so we have to view it like that rather than just, oh, that's just your fantasy. Yeah. Like in the West, this very rich and very important part of ourselves has been kind of dismissed as being not an essential part of the creation, an essential part of our being, of the upadhi, you know. And so then it's not tended. And when it is tended, we have much more inner space and inner depth and inner access, inner wisdom. You know, all of your unconscious is a treasure trove of wisdom also. And even inner child wisdom, because those little ones know what they've been through, and they know how they feel, and they also know what they need, you know. And that's something also that they know, and you also know, because that was you. You that got sequestered. So you know, and they know. And sometimes they even know better than you, because you actually didn't get what you need. And so they're wondering, what do I need? You know. So one thing that we did yesterday was kind of invoking our Ishtadevata, just in case that word is not familiar to some people. You can invoke Ishwara really in any form. In India we say Ishtadevata because there's so many devatas, hundreds, that you may be familiar with or have a relationship or have a puja relationship with, that form of Bhagawan really resonates with you and you have a relationship, and so there's something sacred and trusting there. But say even if you, so Ishta means that devata that you're most attracted to, that is yours, that you are in deep relationship with. So that's what we mean by Ishta, Ishta devata. Out of all of the devatas, these are the ones, doesn't have to be just one. There's some that I am very close to, there may be one that I'm more close to. But those Ishta devatas I can invoke, you know. When I'm doing this inner child work like we started to do yesterday. If there isn't an Ishtadevata, you can allow one to come, you know. What comes from your psyche? You know, if I'm saying, what is your Ishtadevata? And you don't know, then the little one inside may know what form it would feel most safe and most held by, you know. And then Bhagavan comes in that form. We have hundreds of them. Yeah. So you can be your own form of Ishwara, you know, masculine or feminine or a combination, whatever comes. It can be an animal, power animal, in a more shamanic sense. It provides healing and love and safety and wisdom for you. You know, there's wisdom too. There's healing, safety, wisdom. Someone who has an image for you, with Ishtadevata, it's an image that not only is a protector and someone that it gives safety and love for you, but also who has wisdom. The psyche has many different layers, and there are, the deeper you go in the psyche, the more of kind of an objective wisdom is there that you can tap into. Compared to Jung, has this example of a huge triangular iceberg floating in the ocean. So here's the iceberg and here's the waves. And on the top, this little tiny top tip of the iceberg is bouncing up along the waves. But underneath is this huge iceberg. That's your psyche. Huge, comparatively, you know. And of course, all of it is part of the water. So, same material of the water, but kind of just cordoned off your own personal psyche within the collective. So what that means is you have so much wisdom inside. Even all of the Vedanta that you've experienced, that you've been exposed to, not all of it is assimilated by the conscious mind, but all of it has just been downloaded into your psyche, you know. All of your life experience has been downloaded into the psyche, so it's there to be accessed. And then there's kind of the archetypal structure of the psyche, which is just kind of the blueprint that all of us have. And that blueprint is not just the machinery, so to speak. It's not just there for external perceptions. It's a wisdom bank also for the whole universe, internal perceptions. So it's a very beautiful, what we have available to us is so profound, just in terms of the instruments that make us human. But that used to be kind of common knowledge. I think we kind of lost it for the last few centuries, where we just became more and more externalized, kind of the scientific revolution, where this is what's real and nothing, everything else is just imaginal, can't prove it, you know. And so it slowly got dismissed as being anything worthy. So what is worthwhile is everything from here out. But this huge, vast treasure trove of knowledge and being and experience and connectedness with the whole, with Hiranyagarbha, means the whole subtle aspect of Ishwara, is not, we don't have respectful access to that, you know? So we want to get that back. It's theirs. It's there. It's not, we don't even have to get it back. We just have to know about it and start to be with it. You know, so we're not just here. There's a whole huge arena of experience internally also. And so how we're using that right now is just as we're doing this inner child work, because in fact from a Jungian sense, and I think just also from kind of common knowledge, the traumas that you've taken into your psyche growing up, you know, like I got hurt in this way, and then I got hurt in this way, and then this really hurt me, and the poor little child, bum, 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 bum. So those are like bricks. Each bump is a little brick, a little defense system that has come in, swallowed that part off, and sequestered it away. And so that forms kind of a barrier, a pain barrier, to my being able to just relax into the psyche, and then of course have that psyche have some trust and relaxation just to be able to be with myself. Because until I have a good relationship with the psyche, as I try to be in myself, it hits all of this fearful material. You know, so in my contemplation, I end up either resolving into the brick wall, you know, which is nice and quiet. It's a nice, quiet brick wall. And then you think, what is this? This isn't fun. There's nothing absorbing about this. Because the brick wall is the defense system, really, that's protecting you from all of the little complexes. And so in order for that brick wall to kind of, instead of being like this, to become like this, you know, just, you know, so that there's entryway, we have to approach it. We have to approach the little ones inside with love and respect and care and wanting to help, you know, as opposed to pushing away or rejection or stay away from me, I don't want to experience you, you're too painful, you know.
No.
You know, so that's kind of an unconscious no. You know? So we want to say yes. And then that brick wall becomes like this, and I have access. And that material starts to come out and become more and more porous, more and more diffuse, because I'm with it. So on that level, I'm with it with love. There's consciousness coming into that, which has been sequestered from consciousness, actually. The conscious being of my mind, not the consciousness of the self, but the conscious mind, conscious mind in the waking state that can go into that unconscious. So as I'm able to do this inner child work and let those little ones kind of, instead of being like this and afraid themselves, they become relaxed and have more access, and I have more access to them. And then I have deeper spaces inside, you know, that become available to me. They're even available to me when I have all these little ones inside too. But they become just more dominant in a sense, more archetypal levels, you know, become available to me in my kind of journey inside. So all of that is to say that if you think of the psyche as using, having a very, that its language is feeling and imagination, imaginal, you know, then that becomes something that you can kind of really enjoy and respect and feel free to let that imagination just go with it, you know. And so when I was saying, you know, let the little child, let your little child, your little one, you know, be with your Ishtadevata in whatever way that imagination takes place. You know, like maybe one or two little children, one little child inside who just likes to cuddle up on your Ishtadevata's lap and be held. Or whatever it is, you know. Maybe you're going playing with Ganesha. Who knows what's happening. So you let your psyche just do it. Okay, so. Oh, that's it.